I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I pray that this season of light will mean everything to your life right now and in the days to come. My son Grayson is generally with me on the recordings of Front Porch Talks, and I so appreciate my partnership with him. I want to take a few moments to thank him, as a matter of fact. Grayson, I know you'll be listening to this edition of Front Porch Talks, even though you're not here with me to record it. And I want you to know that I'm so grateful for the way that you give excellence to the editing and the way you join me in the studio week after week to bring good news to those who are listening. And so I'm very grateful for you, and I want you to know that I see the light of Jesus in your life. And so as I think about Christmas and I think about a Christmas tree with lights shining here and there, Grayson, you surely are a light on my Christmas tree, and I am very appreciative for you. With that said, I told Grayson that I was going to do a recording just kind of solo for this December season, and there's a real particular reason for that. I want to draw attention to the idea that for some people, Christmas is a very difficult time of the year. Also, before I give more on that, I want to say that while Christmas can be very difficult, I believe the delight of Christmas far outweighs the difficulty. And I hope that you will listen to the conclusion of today's program, and that if you are struggling with hope, and maybe you're thinking that Christmas season is just something that you would prefer to do without, I pray that you'll take a listen and you will know by the conclusion that there is more delight in the season than there is difficulty. So I wanted to record solo today because I know that there are people that go through the Christmas season all alone. And that is a very difficult thing to do because the season of Christmas, often it kind of includes friends and family and good times, at least in all the Christmas cards, and the Christmas programs often lean that way. Even the majority of the Christmas songs, which I just love the Christmas music of the season, they can kind of tend to lean towards the delightful side of the holiday. And often, maybe we just ignore the idea that some people are really hurting this time of the year. Perhaps it has to do with relationships that are strained. Maybe it has to do with the fact that a loved one is lost and not with you this Christmas. It could be a variety of things. Perhaps your health is not good or your finances are under pressure. It could be that you're struggling with mental anguish, or maybe even emotionally you are at wit's end. Well, I want to tell you today that because of the Advent season, Advent of Christmas, we are people who have hope. What we need to realize is that we all need Christmas, even if we would prefer not to have it. I believe Christmas making its return every year is one of the greatest things about being alive. Now, I've also known some loss. If you've been listening to Front Porch Talks, you know that a couple years ago, in the month of November, my dear dad left this planet. He had been struggling with cancer, and he went on to be with the Lord. And so since then, I've been struggling in my own heart in a deep way, because my dad was not only my dad, he was my friend, and I miss his voice. I still have some of the voicemails on my phone that my dad left me before he passed, and from time to time, more often than you would think, I go and I listen to my dad's voice, because his voice was such a gift in my life, and that voice has now been hushed, and he has made it over to the other side. But I'm left here to celebrate Christmas without someone that I love dearly. Now, many of you today have losses greater than I have, and I wanted to make sure that I give an opportunity for hope to reignite in your life today. And so during the Advent season, we know that God entered our darkness. He entered our difficulty. He entered our pain. He came in flesh. Yes, God gave His one and only Son to become one of us so that we could become like Him. And that really is what Christmas is about. Now, maybe you're familiar with the term Advent season. Maybe you're not. Advent means anticipation or coming or arrival. It's this idea that we are looking forward to something great. Now, when you think of Advent, we should think about it in two ways. First of all, we celebrate the advent of Christ coming at Christmas in Bethlehem. But also, Advent has the idea that Christ will return again. Yes, the glorified King of Kings will come to the planet a second time. He won't come this second time as a baby. He will come as a conqueror. And he will come back to take possession of those who belong to him. And so we shouldn't go through the Christmas season without remembering that while Jesus did come once as a babe, born in a manger, born of the lowly virgin girl Mary from Nazareth, that he will also return again in all his splendor and all his glory. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels, Jesus asked a question. He said, "When the Son of Man appears, will he find faith on the earth?" And so he is coming again. There is a reappearing of Jesus Christ. And that is the advent of our lives. While we celebrate, commemorate, as we remember Christmas, I think that the greatest hope it can give to us is that the Christ child who came once to be our Savior will come again to take us home in heaven forever. And so I hope in some way that encourages you. At the same time, I know that the present pain or suffering or hopelessness that you might be feeling is very real. And I want to make sure that I give to you some measure of hope. You know, the question that has been asked, how long can a person live without hope? Well, I don't know the answer to it, but I know any living we do apart from hope is horrible living. It's not good living. And so I pray that today, in this broadcast time, that hope in some way will be restored in your mind if that's what you need. Now, if you have hope, then I pray that your hope will just be enhanced and that Christmas will mean more to you than it would have had you not listened in today to this solo rendition of Front Porch Talks. You know, Christmas is still the greatest story ever told. I must have inherited my love for Christmas music from my mother, Melba. I call her Lady Melba. I can still remember when I was a boy growing up in her presence and hearing her sing as she went about her housework. It's a wonderful, heartwarming memory, especially hearing her sing Christmas music. So I'm pretty sure that my love for Christmas music came from my mother's joy. It was a while back now. Back in 2011, when my mom and dad were both healthy and my dad was still with us, mom and dad were in their 70s by now, and I was humbled that they would drive 400 plus miles from North Carolina, the coastline, my original home, and they would come to Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley, to spend the season of Christmas with us. And we were talking one evening when they were here with me, and the topic turned to, you guessed it, Christmas music. I remember Mom asking if I had ever heard the Christmas song titled, "It's Still the Greatest Story Ever Told." I had not heard of the song. But after searching it on YouTube on my computer, I found the song and I played it for all of us to hear. It's a beautiful Christmas song indeed. It's the story of Christ coming from heaven to earth to save us from our sins. And it's still the greatest story ever told. Now, if you have access to YouTube, you can go and listen to the song, "It's Still the Greatest Story Ever Told." I know the Gaither Vocal Band sings it, and there are probably others that sing it as well. But I do have the lyrics, and I want to just kind of read them to you as a poem. This song is still the greatest story ever told. A woman and an angel, a promise and a song. A word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. O sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds. And it's still the greatest story ever told. a hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold, eternal revelation to men as dull as stone, the glorious greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and is still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and is still the greatest story ever told. As I hear those words, as I read those lyrics, I'm reminded of that Christmas in 2011 when my mom and dad came, which would have been their last Christmas visit to our home in the Shenandoah Valley together. And I really, really do cherish that memory. And you see, that's why I say we need Christmas. Christmas in that instance in the year 2011 gave my fisherman dad an opportunity to just dock his shrimp boat and to take time to come and be with us, his family, over that season of Christmas. You know, Christmas has a way of calling time out in our lives. Sometimes people bustle on through and they just sort of miss Christmas on purpose. But there is this idea that Christmas says, you know, exhale. Take time to rest for a while. Reflect on what this season of light really means. And I'm so grateful, so very, very grateful that that hope has come into my life. I say often here on Front Porch Talks that hope has a name. Indeed it does. And that name is Jesus. Also, I believe that the season of Christmas is a great time for us to offer new prayers. Prayers to the Lord, the one who came to be our Savior, to just pray in His name. Yes, in the name of hope, in the name of Jesus. I have a prayer that I've written down for this year, 2016 and beyond. I actually call it a prayer for the Christmas season, 2016 and beyond. And I want to take a few moments now to pray the prayer. It's a very practical prayer. But I believe that you'll understand it, and I believe our Lord will be honored, our world will be helped, and we will all be humbled just to pray the prayer. So let me pray the prayer, and you can just agree with me by saying amen right where you are. So be it as I offer this prayer to the Lord during this season of light. Dearest loving Abba Father, Daddy Father, by the precious blood of your darling Son, and our dear Savior, Jesus, and by the powerful presence of your blessed Holy Spirit, we come now before your throne of mercy to pray together. We pray a Christmas prayer for 2016 and beyond. First of all, dear Lord, we pray for our missionaries. Indeed, Lord, all around your world today and every day, your missionaries are dependent upon the prayers of your people. May your missionaries who are scattered to the four corners of the globe know your undeniable presence and your indescribable peace. Please meet all of their specific needs according to your abundant riches in Christ Jesus. Let your joy, O Lord, be their strength. Secondly, dear Lord, we pray for our military personnel. At Christmas time this year, many families are separated because of loved ones who are overseas in uniform. Bless the chaplains as they pray and plan to celebrate Christmas on foreign soil. Give to them your embrace and your word. We are blessed to live in the United States of America, Abba Father. Make us grateful and prayerful for those who protect and defend freedom. Finally, dear Lord, I pray for our heavenly mission as the church. We say thanks as we savor yesterday's memories. However, Lord, we also want to seize today's moments and see tomorrow's miracles. Help us to be a bright beacon of your perfect love and prevailing hope in your Shenandoah Valley and beyond, in 2016 and beyond. Give us a desire to seek your face, hear your voice, obey your word, and become your will. Help us to keep living with devoted and totally surrendered hearts, so that our lives can be your lights in darkness. We pray for a God-ordered, Jesus-led, and Spirit-filled unity and future. In the name of the one called Wonderful, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So you see, I believe that Christmas is a time to pray new prayers, because it is the season of light and hope. And really, there is for us a great anticipation, because Jesus came, because God sent His Son to come and deliver us from sin and from darkness and from hopelessness. And we also have that hope, as I mentioned earlier, that He will come again. He has not abandoned us here in the world we live in. He will return someday, and He will take us for forever to be with Him in a place where light will reign supreme. Not only do I believe that Christmas is a good time to write or pray new prayers, I believe it's also a time to write and to say new poems. You know, I've always enjoyed poetry. As a young boy in grade school, I loved to write poems. I remember I was reading poems one day as about a fourth grader, maybe, and my granny was listening and just giving me praise. My cousin, who was older, he didn't really think I was much of a poet, but you know, I didn't let that stop me. My granny always praised my poetry, and I still love poetry. And I believe Christmas is a great time to take a moment or two to just consider poetry, because poetry is a beautiful art form, and it can express things that we would not have otherwise expressed. Now, I have a little poem titled, "Christmas is a Miracle." I mean, do I believe in miracles? Indeed, I do. I hope you do. Christmas is a miracle. However, I see Christmas in and of itself a miracle. Why? Well, I wrote a poem about that. Christmas is a miracle. We were in darkness. Jesus came to be our light. We got ourselves really lost, so He came to point us right. His mission was to save us. We were deep in dire straits. He offers deep forgiveness. Yes, He came with holy traits. His mercy is extended still. He gives His love to all. Will we now love Him back, crown Him our all in all? Christmas is His cry to us. Will we become His friends? Before this season comes and goes, let us bow and make amends. And so I believe that Christmas is a miracle in and of itself. It's a miracle of forgiveness. When God extended to us His Son as a baby born in Bethlehem's manger, He was saying to us, "I offer you heaven's forgiveness on planet Earth, so that one day you can live with me in heaven for forever and forever." Yes, that's the hope of Christmas. If we give away our life to Christ, to the one whose birth makes Christmas a miracle, then we will surely know that hope is alive in our own existence. I want to conclude my thoughts today with two words that were made famous by Charles Schulz. He was the cartoonist for Peanuts and Charlie Brown, Lucy and the Gang. And I want to take these two words and say that whatever you're experiencing this season of the year, this Christmas season, this Advent season, if you are experiencing grief, for example, then it can be good grief. Those are the words that we hear throughout the Peanuts cartoon. Good grief. It sounds like an oxymoron, you know, like jumbo shrimp. But good grief is something that is really true. It's a true statement. It's a true phrase. Good grief. And I was talking earlier about how some listening today and even myself have experienced loss. And I think all of us have experienced loss. And sometimes that can make us want to kind of lean away from Christmas. But I believe that's a trick of the enemy of our soul, is to lean away from Christmas. I believe we need to lean into Christmas. Even though it may not feel natural, because we're going through some sort of nagging in our heart where pain is there, I think we should override that and we should lean into Christmas. As I said earlier, there are difficulties associated with the Christmas season. But I believe the delights of Christmas so overweigh the difficulties. And I don't want you to miss Christmas this year. And so if you're going through some sort of grief, my prayer is that it will be good grief. And what I mean by that is, because Jesus came, he made some promises to us while he was on the planet. He said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the earth." Jesus also promised, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, these are some beautiful promises, and we can have good grief because we don't have to go through grief alone. You know, Christmas says a lot of things, but one thing it surely says to me is we are not on our own. We are not forsaken. We have not been forgotten. We do not have to live the journey onward alone because Jesus came to the manger. And that's a beautiful story, how he was born in Bethlehem. But you know, now he wants to be born in us. He wants to know if we will be his Bethlehem. He wants to live in us through the Holy Spirit so that we are never alone again. As a matter of fact, he wants to put his presence in us like he put his presence in Bethlehem. And so I see my heart as a manger of sorts. And I know that because I've invited him into my Bethlehem, that I do not have to suffer alone. And so that, my friends, is my definition, at least, for good grief. And I pray that you will not celebrate Christmas alone. You're saying, "Well, Pastor, I'm not even going to celebrate Christmas." Well, I pray that you won't even endure Christmas alone. I pray that this Christmas, that you will call out to the one who is the Christ child, hope himself, Jesus Christ, and you will ask him to be born in you, to be born within your heart, to be the light of your Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem was a very dark, dark town, and the light of the world, actually, it was really the light of heaven that became the light of the world. Jesus Christ made his entry into Bethlehem, and Bethlehem has never been the same. I've made visits to Bethlehem, about a dozen or more, and it is one of my favorite places to visit, that little town of Bethlehem. But I want to tell you that, you know, just because Jesus came to that little town of Bethlehem, it gives me cause to know that he will come to little old Carrie. He'll come to me. He was born in this one donkey town of Bethlehem, and that means that he cares about forgotten places. It means that he cares about people who think that God does not have them on his radar, because God does. And you know, Christmas is very personal. It's not just a public celebration. Christmas is very personal. And I pray that this Christmas, it'll be very personal for you. Now that comes to my final end here, where I've done this program by myself today. I've just asked the Lord to bring thoughts into my mind and to help me to convey a measure of hope to everyone who is a part of this broadcast. Because Christmas is personal. And I believe that if you have been the only person on the planet that needed to be saved from darkness, that Jesus still would have come to be your Savior. I believe likewise, if I have been the only person on earth who needed forgiveness of sin and a future hope, that he would have come to Bethlehem to be born to die for me. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born to die so we could live. And because of his resurrection from the grave that we celebrate at Easter, we know that we are people in Advent. In other words, we are anticipating his second coming. He will come again to claim those who have said, "Come into my Bethlehem, Jesus. Come be born in my manger, in my heart." He will come one day to reclaim us as his own and to take us home with him forever. And that, my friends, that to me is the hope of Christmas. Well, speaking of hope, my son Grayson and I, when we have this program week after week, we always end by saying words like this. I pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks has been a half hour of hope for your life. I'm going to select a special song now to close this broadcast. I pray that this song will bring to you deep, deep hope, and that you will not celebrate Christmas alone this year, but you will invite the Christ child to be born in you. If he's already been born in you, then just add to the celebration. We are people of hope because of Christmas. God bless.
The song that we have for you today is Jim Cole and his song, In Bethlehem Tonight.
No room at the inn, no comfort at all, no place for I am but a space in the stall. A mother cries out, an infant is born, Messiah concealed as a carpenter's son. And in this small town, as the prophets foretold, Emmanuel has come to his own. In Bethlehem tonight, child is born. In Bethlehem, the light of the world is dawning. And shepherds tonight hear the angels proclaim, there is peace to the ones who believe on his name. And the Lamb sent to free us lies asleep on the hay. In Bethlehem tonight, in Bethlehem tonight. The journey begins, a life will unfold. From Bethlehem's stable, Calvary's road, and all of our burdens will soon be undone. God is revealed in the works of his Son. But deep in this night, the world cannot know how great a gift the Father bestows. In Bethlehem tonight, a child is born. Bethlehem, the light of the world is dawning. And shepherds tonight hear the angels proclaim, there is peace to the ones who believe on his name. And the Lamb sent to free us lies asleep on the hay. In Bethlehem tonight, Bethlehem tonight. A promise was spoken, even now is fulfilled. His mercy he soon will impart. And the love that lies sleeping in this manger tonight will soon be born again in our hearts. In Bethlehem tonight, a child is born. Bethlehem, the light of the world is dawning. Shepherds tonight hear the angels proclaim, there is peace to the ones who believe on his name. And the Lamb sent to free us lies asleep on the hay. Bethlehem tonight, Bethlehem tonight.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.